So very good morning to one and all, and wishing all mothers, grandmothers, a very blessed Mother's Day. So it's indeed very God-honoring to honor them on this day. I think Mother's Day ought to be celebrated every day. So somebody said that a child is carried in his mother's womb for 9 months. Somebody does not know that the child is carried in his mother's heart forever. So this is how great a mother's love. In fact, a novelist, a writer, Rudyard Kipling, said that in a jest that God cannot be everywhere, and therefore he created mothers. And so this is how men esteem their mothers so much, and they really thank God for their mothers. So even God himself uses a mother's love to describe himself. You have to read Isaiah 66 verse 13, how he said that he would, like mothers, comfort the children of Israel in Isaiah's prophecy to the children of Israel that they will be restored back to their land. And so today, we should not forget all our sisters in Christ here who are also spiritual mothers, as I prayed just now in the pastoral prayer, that we shouldn't forget about our spiritual mothers here, our sisters, our women folk who live a selfless love for their loved ones, who cared for their loved ones behind the scene, secretly, in private and not in public. And those who are serving behind the scene in our church, in the ministries of our church, our Sunday school teachers, and even at the children's ministry. So we want to thank God for all these so-called spiritual mothers. And if not for them, our children in our church or the members of our church will not be able to grow in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So likewise, in this passage, this story of Tabitha in the book of Acts, she was a spiritual mother to many widows. And you will notice that Luke does not give many details of this lady called Tabitha. And we do not know how she looks like, what's her age, and what's her family background, whether she has a family or has a husband or children. But we may guess that she might be a widow herself. But we know for sure that she has a servant's heart, a very loving and caring heart for the underprivileged, the marginalized, which are the widows. So indeed, she was a spiritual mother to the widows in this city that she was in, Joppa. And so she lived in this city called Joppa, which is now called, modern name is Jaffa. And last time, if you remember, we have oranges from Jaffa oranges. Now there's no more Jaffa oranges. I do not know why. And this Jaffa is absorbed into the bigger city called Tel Aviv. And so it's located on the Mediterranean coast. And Joppa in ancient time is about 56 kilometers northwest of Jerusalem. So it's not too far, a few days' journey. So you also remember when Jonah tried to run away from God to go to Nineveh. He went to this city, Joppa, where the port is, to go to Tarshish instead. So here we can see that Joppa is frequently mentioned in the Bible. So this Joppa was indeed a very busy port, and it was therefore a good place for the gospel to spread out. So we are familiar with busy port. As we know, Singapore is also a busy port, and the gospel can be reached far and wide through all these trade that we are having. So therefore, Tabitha's story was put here as a bridge of how the gospel would go from Judea to Samaria and to the uttermost parts of the world. So God, in His providence, deliberately placed Tabitha in a city which her story of her being dead and coming alive could spread to other lands. So because of that, we also can see how at Joppa, Peter came to this place to revive this Tabitha. And after that, he stayed at this place of this tanner, Simon, and how he saw the vision, and God asked him to eat the unclean animals, and thereafter to preach to the Roman centurion Cornelius. So God was actually preparing the ground even for the gospel to the Gentiles, and also preparing the ground for Paul, who was converted in the preceding verses, to bring the gospel out to the Gentiles. So as we come to this passage of Tabitha, we have three lessons this morning. And firstly, the first lesson we learned that Tabitha lived a life that follows the Lord Jesus Christ. She lived a life that follows the Lord Jesus Christ. So the author Luke introduced Tabitha with another name, and that is Dorcas. So I have parents here who name their children Tabitha, and some name their children Dorcas, but they are of the same name. The first name, Tabitha, is an Aramaic word for gazelle, and Dorcas is a Greek word for gazelle also. So this tells us something about who Tabitha was, that her ministry is not just to the Jews, but also to the Greeks, believers. So gazelle, the animal, brought to mind the image of grace, beauty, and swiftness at the time of need. And so it may have been, Luke must have been describing how this Tabitha has that inner grace, that grace of Jesus to others, and the beauty, the inner beauty, and the swiftness to do God's work wherever she is called. So here we can see that Tabitha in verse 36 was called the disciple, a disciple of Jesus Christ. And how did she come in contact with the gospel? And we know that at this time, because of Paul, his zeal to persecute the Christians, so the Christians all scattered. There was a great scattering, and as a result, these believers who were scattered went all about to preach the gospel. And this we can see in Acts chapter 8, verse 4. And I shall read to you, "Therefore they that were scattered abroad went everywhere preaching the word." So by God's mercies and grace, Tabitha would have heard the gospel in Joppa, and as a result, she believed and came to know God and became a devoted disciple, a devoted follower of Jesus. And a disciple means a learner. She learns from her master Jesus how she should live as a Christian, how she should live as a disciple of the great master Jesus Christ. So she's the only woman in the New Testament explicitly identified as a disciple. And this word disciple is in the feminine, is written in the feminine noun of the masculine noun matetes. So this feminine noun is called matetria. So this is amazing. If you were to read the Bible, there's no feminine noun that is accorded to any of the women in the Bible. Not to Mary, not to Martha, or even Priscilla, or any other woman. So here we can see that this was something, a title given to this Tabitha. So she indeed stood out as a very faithful follower of Christ. So this shows us that men and women have equal potential, equal rank in the eyes of God. Though we have different roles in the church, before God, in His eyes, we have the same value and worth. There's no such thing as women being inferior than men before God's eyes. And Galatians 3:28, Paul says, there's neither Jew nor Greek, there's neither bond nor free, there's neither male nor female, for ye are all one in Christ Jesus. So therefore, Tabitha loves Jesus. She was so willing to be a learner of Jesus. She obeys His word, His commandments, and she let the word of God influence every part of her life. And she could have rejected Jesus. She could have gone her own ways. At any point, she would have chosen something that would grieve the Holy Spirit, but she didn't. She chose to obey instead of disobeying Jesus. She chose to serve instead of just not serving Jesus. So she was indeed a disciple, matetreia, of this Jesus Christ. And to her, there's no other master than this Jesus Himself. So once we become a Christian, whether we are mothers, grandmothers, preacher mothers, or even as a husband, as a father, or in every stage of our life, we ought not to just stop being a professing Christian. We must possess Christ. We ought to be a learner of Christ. We ought to open the Word of God, to study His Word, to follow Him, and that the Bible should be our spiritual compass. And when we have children, we ought to bring them up to know Christ, and let not make ourselves, our lives revolve our children so much so that they control our lives, rather than we are the ones who guide them and control them and bring them up to know Christ. There are many or some mothers who, after giving birth, they let their lives revolve around the children so much that they neglect their husband's needs, and all they think of is their children. The children become their idols, become their gods, so much so that the children control the mothers rather than mothers controlling and guiding the child. So we ought to remember, as mothers, as grandmothers, or even spiritual mothers, we ought to be spiritual mothers. We ought to be disciples of Jesus. We ought to be learners of Jesus, followers of Jesus. And therefore, our spiritual development, our sanctification, has to be in progress. We ought to spend time in private worship with God. We cannot just say, I'm too busy with life, too busy with my children's needs. I need to send him or her to this enrichment class, this tuition. I have no time for God. God understands. So if you give all these excuses, Satan is very happy as he draws you far, far away from the Lord. And you begin to be doing things that may not be aligned with God's word, aligned with being a disciple of Jesus. So every one of us ought to be a disciple of Jesus and must be a disciple of Jesus. And Abraham Lincoln, a godly president of USA in many years back, he said that no man is poor who has a godly mother. No man is poor who has a godly mother. So Tabitha chose to follow Christ, regardless of what state that she is in. She may be facing some criticism, some may not be happy, you cannot please everyone, but she chose to follow Christ, do what Christ says. So regardless of what state we are in today, we must choose to follow Christ, to be a genuine disciple of Christ. Not just be a Christian, full stop, but to be a follower to be a learner of Christ. So this message is not about going you through a guilt trip, but is to challenge you that you must rise above what you are today, how you feel today, to follow Christ, to do what Christ requires of us. So the first lesson we learn is we must live a life that follows Jesus, to be a genuine disciple of Jesus. And the next lesson is, second lesson is, we must live a life that lives for Jesus. So Tabitha was a disciple. She lived according to God's calling for her to love Jesus with all her soul, strength and might, and to love her neighbor as herself. And that's what Jesus says, the summary of the Ten Commandments. And so this love for Christ flows out from her life to others. And in verse 36, the latter part of this, verse 36, it says, this woman was full of good works and alms deeds which she did. So good works, the word good is actually intrinsically good, not evil. And this intrinsically goodness in her brings out benefits to others. So, and this good works is a phrase that speaks of the general acts of kindness to people. And for alms deeds, is more specific, and it has to do with acts of mercy that relieve the burdens of the poor and needy. And how often did she do these good works and alms deed? We know from the original language, whereby you can see the word was. This woman was of good works and alms deeds which she did. So the words was and did, they are all in imperfect tenses. So imperfect tenses means that it's a continuation, it's a frequently, it's habitual. So she did not do it on an ad hoc basis, as and when she likes it, but she do it habitually, frequently, regularly. So her heart, her mind, her time, her life was full of these good works and full of these alms deeds to others. So wouldn't you agree that there are more people filled with words than with works? And often than not, we are like what James says, we see someone who is in need, but we just turn away from that person. And James says that faith without works is dead. So once we are Christian, we must bear the fruit of good works to others. And Galatians 6 verse 10 says, as we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, especially unto them which are of the household of faith. And so this is an instruction from Paul, that when we have therefore opportunity, let us do good unto all men, and of course women included, especially unto them which are of the household of faith, our fellow believers. And 1 Timothy 2, verse 9 to 10, Paul even exhorts the women that in like manner also that women adorn themselves in modest apparel, with shamefacedness and sobriety, not with broidered hair or gold or pearls or costly array, but which becometh women professing godliness with good works. So here we can see how Paul exhorts the women to have good works. What God wants of women is that they are beautiful inside. And it's not about fancy clothes, fancy makeup, fancy dresses or outward appearance, but it's the inner beauty, which is the fruit of God's love to others. So here, we as sisters in Christ, we ought to cultivate that inner beauty always. Don't spend too much money on cosmetics or dresses, but spend your time to cultivate that inner beauty, and you'll be beautiful from inside out. So Luke reveals to us that Tabitha was not just doing good works and alms deed, but doing full of them. So after she was sick and died, you can see that not some of the widows were at her place mourning for her, but it says all the widows were there, and they showed the apostle Peter the coats and garments which Tabitha had sewn and clothed them. So coats and garments is not this kind of coats. Coats means the inner wear, and the garments are the outer wear. So this Tabitha was so into the needs of the widows that she bothered even to sew their inner wares. And so this is who Tabitha was, and we ought to appreciate her heart, her servant's heart for the widows, because clothes at that time are very hard to come by. In the first century, making clothes was the most labor-intensive, time-consuming job of every household. And they don't have supermarkets at that time, malls to buy clothes from, and they don't have machines, advanced machines to make clothes. And so they have to take all these raw materials to weave them together and to produce cloth. And after that, they need to have a needle to sew all these clothes together. So it's very, very labor-intensive, very time-consuming. But I believe Tabitha, there was never a complaint from her. There was never any complaint from her about widows. Why are there so many widows? About why God took away the husbands. There wasn't any complaint out of her love for these widows, these marginalized people. She went all out to clothe them. So you can see clothes are very hard to come by. That's why you would appreciate what John the Baptist told the people when they asked, how do I live a life that is according to God? John the Baptist in Luke 3:11 says, he that had two coats, let him impart to him that had none. So his clothes are very hard to come by. The coats here, of course, the inner garment is very hard to come by. So it's good to give to another person if you have an extra one. So Tabitha's ministry changed the life of the widows who were suffering in silence, because widows at the time, they need protection, they need assistance in terms of finance, food, and even legal protection. And so we can see that in Acts 6:1, how the apostles ministered to the widows until they could not handle so much. That's why they appointed the deacons. So this widow is a woman with constant needs, and being a widow is synonymous of being poor. So remember the widow's mites in the Gospel of Mark, how Jesus was at the treasury and saw the widow putting in the two mites. It described the poverty of this widow, and Jesus said she has given her all. And in Mark 12:40, Jesus condemns the teachers of the law specifically for devouring widows' houses, because these scribes and Pharisees, they are taking away from the widows what little they have left, leaving them so destitute, so poor, even without a home to live in. So God honors widows, and God used people like Tabitha to love them, to help them in their state of poverty. So Tabitha lived like the parable of the Good Samaritan. He reached out to them, and to reach out to widows, you need to know them, you need to keep in touch with them, have a relationship with them. And she did not do it by proxy. She herself personally went to them, measured their body, how she could weave the cloth, make these coats and garments for them. So people could see her love for them, that she was genuine to them that she has no ulterior motive. So this Tabitha not just clothed them, keep them warm, but Tabitha clothed them with dignity. They were able to walk in the streets with their heads held high because they were made special by Tabitha and ultimately by God Himself. And this is what Tabitha did to them. How this simple act of kindness brought so much value to the widows. So never, never underestimate our simple act of kindness to others, whether be an encouraging text to others, maybe a cup of cold water to others, a pat on the back, a friendly chat with others, a prayer with others. You do not have to give in monetary terms, but in kind, in what God has given you that gives to encourage others. These simple acts will build up the faith of others, and you will, in a way, clothe them with dignity, with that strength to go on another day. So this Tabitha, she served the people, and the people knew that she served because she was a disciple, because she loved Jesus, and it's all because of her Savior that has saved her first. So that's her identity, and that's why she was saved, to be able to serve. And so this Tabitha was never seeking for personal gain. She was always seeking for the good of the widows. So therefore, the impact of her death on the widows was so profound that they wept because they missed Tabitha so much because of her compassion, her love, Christ-like love for them. So this weeping or mourning was genuine. It wasn't a selfish, oh no, who will make clothes for us now, that kind of weeping. But instead, it was a sense of deep loss and sense of deep honor for this lady who had helped them, who had dignified them. And they could have, in their weepings, said, look at this woman, what she did for us. Look at how she lived for Christ. We will miss her greatly. So their weeping was a eulogy of what she has done. So here we can see Tabitha in her life. It was recorded for us. There's never a word uttered from her mouth. There's never any words that she wrote, but everything was seen throughout out of her life. So mothers and spiritual mothers, we serve always behind the scene. Nobody knows our hearts. Nobody knows our tears that have been shed, the pain, the aches, the worries for our children. And tasks that we have to do are thankless. Nobody comes and pats our back and say, you are a great mother, and so forth. But always be reminded, God knows. As long as we live out the gospel each day and each moment of our lives, our rewards are from heaven, and we will not know how the impact we will have upon others. Let God do the work. We don't have to remind and tell people how much we are doing. So here, there's a story about four pastors who were discussing the merits of the various translations of the Bible. I think I've shared this before, but if you have heard before, pretend you have not heard it. So one liked a particular version best because of its simple, beautiful English way of translating. Another pastor preferred a more scholarly edition because it was very close to the Hebrew and Greek. Still another liked a contemporary version because of its up-to-date vocab. But the fourth pastor was silent for a moment, and then he said, I think I like my mother's translation best. So the other three pastors were surprised and said, oh, we didn't know your mother translated the Bible, did she? Said, yes, she translated it into life, and it was the most convincing translation I ever saw. So here we can see that this pastor's mother lived out her life, lived out the Bible in her life. So Tabitha, this is a story, but Tabitha's story is true. She's a historical figure. She was able to lift up her life for Jesus. And so we too can lift up our life for Jesus too. And let us not give any more excuses, but to do what God wants us to do. And the third lesson we know is that Tabitha lived a life proving that there is hope in Jesus. So Tabitha fell sick and tragically died, as I mentioned earlier. And all the widows were in great sorrow and brought her to the upper room. It's strange because according to Jewish tradition, a Jew died, he or she has to be buried on the same day. But they brought her to the upper room and they asked two men to go to this place called Lydda. And Lydda is a day's journey. So to go there and to come back is 2 days to fetch the Apostle Peter, because Apostle Peter was there and they heard of it. And so they didn't bury this Tabitha. And that shows that of their great sorrow, that they don't want to bury her so fast. And also the second thing is that they have this hope that perhaps Peter, God through Peter, may do something to revive her. And so they may have heard about Jesus reviving people from the dead. So they do pray that they hope that Peter would, as an apostle of Jesus, would do something for this Tabitha. And so in verse 38 it says, "And for as much as Lydda was nigh to Joppa, and the disciples had heard that Peter was there, they sent unto him 2 men, desiring him that he would not delay to come to them." So Peter, having heard from the 2 men that this lady who did full of good works and alms deed, he too had this hope that God may want him to bring her back from the dead. So as he agreed to go there, and all the widows stood by when he was at the upper chamber, and like Jesus, raising up the damsel, he told the people to go out of the room, and he knelt and prayed. He wanted to do that so that the outcome was not, the focus was not on him, but upon God. So here in this verse 40, it says, "But Peter put them all forth and kneeled down and prayed, and turning him to the body, said, Tabitha, arise. And she opened her eyes, and when she saw Peter, she sat up." And so here we can see Peter, even though he has hope, he trusted in God, he prayed. He did not rely on his own strength, but he prayed. So, and after Tabitha sat up, then he extended his hand to her. And so the order of events was different when Jesus restored life to the 12-year-old girl of Jairus. In Luke 8, we can see that, "And he," that is Jesus, "put them all out and took her by the hand and called, Maid, arise." In Mark 15:5-41 is Talitha Kumi. And so here we can see that this Jesus first took the hand of the girl and directed her to arise. But here Peter directed her to arise first and then took her hand. The difference is to tell us that the power and life itself flow from the Lord to the little girl. And it's not from Peter, but it's through Jesus that this girl was restored. So Luke purposefully wrote all this, why Peter extended his hand after she arose, is to help us to see that in Jesus' account, in the Gospel's account, Jesus took the hand first and called the girl to arise, whereas here Peter prayed and asked the girl to arise and then take her hand. To demonstrate that power and life comes from God. So this is something that we are to be thankful that we have this hope in Jesus. We have this hope that He has this authority to bring the dead to life. And we have this hope that He will one day resurrect us. So through Tabitha, now that she is alive, they know that Jesus is real. Every day after she was revived or resurrected from the dead, it was a living testimony of Jesus is real, Jesus is authoritative, Jesus is powerful, Jesus is love. So it's a living testimony of the hope that they too have in Christ. So Luke concludes Tabitha's story with more silences, and Peter says nothing about the miracle thereafter, and Tabitha says nothing that we don't see or hear what Tabitha says or do. But Luke deliberately do all this to state the fact that her living testimony is a proof of the hope that we have, or every Christian will have in Jesus. And because of that, in verse 42, many people believe in the Lord, and because of it. So here, for all mothers and for all of us, always believe that we have this hope in Christ. Even when we are struggling, when we are in our darkest and desperate moments of our lives, even days or even months of our lives, when we know that things are not within our control, it could be your child is in hospital, the struggle as a young mother to breastfeed your child, to raise your child up, and the demands of working life and being a mother. And when your child grew up and to see him or her turning delinquent and not coming back to the Lord, and sometimes all these burdens, we carry it until we put a question mark on whether God is real. And sometimes because of that, we become hopeless, and we look at life very meaningless. Coming to church is just going through motion. There's no relationship with God. But always remember, even though we may not see Tabitha, but we read of her in the passage, we read of Jesus' resurrection, and Jesus promised that he will come again and raise us up from the dead. There's this hope always in Him, and Jesus has the power. Everything will be made beautiful in His time, and Jesus just wants us to draw closer to Him and to believe that in Him there's always hope, and that we are not to be despaired, not to feel miserable when things are out or beyond our control. So we ought to also remember Peter himself went through a great despair during the dark episode of the Calvary. But he wrote in a very triumphant note, he says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to His abundant mercy have begotten us again into a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead." And Job himself also, when he was filled with boils and sores itching all over and aggravated by his three friends' accusation on him, yet he has this hope, and he said in Job 19:26, "And though after my skin worms destroy this body, yet in my flesh shall I see God." So these are for our learning, that we ought not to feel hopeless. We rise above our feelings, cling on to God's promises, that there's hope in Jesus always. So mothers, grandmothers, and our sisters here who are spiritual mothers, and all of us here, let us continue to have this hope in this uncertain world, hope in Jesus, even when we go through trials, and there will always be no regrets in being a disciple, being a learner of Jesus, following Him, and living out a life for Him and for His glory. So let us be a faithful disciple of Jesus always. Let us pray. Father in heaven, we truly want to thank you that you have given us this story of Tabitha to remind us that even as a woman, she gave her life to you. And likewise for all of us, whether we are mothers, spiritual mothers or grandmothers or in any responsibilities or roles we are undertaking, we always live out our lives for you to be a disciple of our Master, that is Lord Jesus Christ. So help us, Lord, even when things don't go our way and when trials come, when we are in the darkest days of our lives, we always have this hope in the Lord Jesus Christ, as you have given us in your word the promises that are so true. So we commit ourselves to you, and may you once again bless all our mothers here, that they may have a wonderful, blessed Mother's Day. All this we pray in Jesus' name. Amen.